verses 16.
Believers, Christians, who approach the Bible are approaching their God. The scriptures, you see, testify of God. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse number 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus says, if you want to know me, if you want to know more about me, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Friends, it is the Word of God that will reveal the God of the Word. And if we want to know the God of the Word, we must approach the Word of God. The Scriptures, the Word of God. I like what Paul said when he wrote to the Thessalonican church. He wrote to them there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And he said to the church there, he said, "I rejoice that when you received the Word which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." When Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, they did not receive it as just some letter or as just another letter from a man, but they received it as it was in truth, the Word of God. Do you want to know God today? Do you want to know Him intimately? Do you want to know more of Him and His love for you? Then I would encourage you today, as you approach God, approach Him biblically. Don't trust what some church says or some denomination says or some so-called prophet says, but come to the very Word of God. It is infallible. It is preserved, and it is for you and for me today to trust and to learn more about God. I remember when I was in Bible college during that first year, Terry and I met. And then she, during the summertime, went up to San Jose, California, where her family was from. And I remember what a heartbreaking time that was for me. And having her go there, and I had to stay down in L.A. and work my job so I could pay my school bill and so forth. And I never will forget the fact that Terry used to write me those letters. And every day I'd come back into the college campus and back from work, and I'd go into that big mail room. I'm pretty sure it was box number 117. And as I came into that mail room, I'd start sniffing. I was sniffing for perfume. Lots of times she put perfume on those notes. And lots of times before I even got to the box, I knew whether or not she had written by whether or not I could smell the perfume down the hallway. Boy, I want you to know something. I'd get to that box. I'd turn that key. I'd take those love letters out of that mailbox, shut that mailbox. I want you to know, friends, if it would have been the president of the United States or some dignitary or some college professor that wanted my time, I wouldn't have had time right then, because I had to get away and get alone, and I had to open up those letters and smell those letters and read those letters and read between the lines to make sure that she still loved me and make sure that everything was going just fine. And then I'd reread that letter. I want you to know I look forward to that letter coming, because I wanted to know everything I could know about my fiance Terry. I wanted to know everything I possibly could know about her. And I'm simply saying to you today, that is exactly the way we need to approach the Bible. We need to come to God's Word and let it be sweet to us. And we need to come to God's Word and approach it and say, God, I want to know more about you and more about your love for me. And I want to know what you have for me today. And I'm approaching God's Word through my Bible reading. And as I read the Word of God, then I am approaching God, because He manifests Himself to me through His written Word. And so believers approach God, first of all, through their Bible reading. And then secondly, believers approach God through biblical preaching. I want you to understand that this morning. Martin Luther once declared, "When I declare the Word of God, I offer sacrifice unto Him. I offer sacrifice unto Him." When we preach the Word of God, those of us who are Bible preachers, we are offering up a message unto the Lord and unto God's people. And when it is Bible-based, then we can know more about our God through Bible-based preaching. You see, preaching is a vital part of worship. There are many movements today that are beginning to neglect the fact that unless they have had preaching of the Word of God in their midst, they have not truly worshiped God. Because it is through the preaching of the Word of God that He reveals Himself to men and women today. and it is biblical preaching that will reveal God. I'm afraid today we are seeing in many instances people who are coming to church but learning very little about God, walking away feeling like they don't know God more intimately. On one end of the spectrum, we have the liturgical approach where there is so much liturgy that the scriptures don't get through. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have the emotional approach where there is so much emotion in singing that there's not enough preaching. And somewhere in the middle, my friend, there needs to be the proclamation of biblical truth where men and women come face to face with an almighty God. And so we see that we must approach God through biblical preaching. Now, when I think of preaching, I think of all the different styles and types. And I'm reminded of the story of one little boy that went up to the preacher after church. And he walked up to that preacher and he said, "Preacher, here's my offering. I want you to have it." The preacher did what a smart preacher would do. He said, "No, son, I'm not going to take that offering. Now, your parents gave that so that you'd give it to the Lord. You go over there and give it to the ushers, and they'll take care of it for you, and they'll make sure that it goes for the Lord's work." Little boy said, "Nothing doing." He stood there. He was just declaring to that preacher that he was going to give him that offering. And he said, "By the way, preacher, this isn't for the church. This is for you. You need it." And the preacher said, "Son, you've got to give that to the ushers. I don't know why you're insisting this way, but I can't take it." He said, "By the way, why are you so insistent anyways, little boy, that I take this money?" Little boy said, "Well, my dad said you're the poorest preacher he ever heard in all of his life, and I figured you could use this money." Now, I want to help you with something. You don't determine how poor or how rich a message is by the delivery style, but by the biblical content that is being presented. And when the Bible is being presented, then through that, we are approaching God and growing closer to Him through biblical preaching as a form of worship. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 9, the Bible reads, if you would turn there, please, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Here we see in the Word of God that God's Word declares that Christians, as they are saved, become a royal priesthood. In other words, we do not have to go to some priest and ask him to offer our prayers, but we can offer prayers up to the Lord directly. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "And holy nation, a peculiar people." That means that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is separated unto Jesus Christ, holy, belonging unto Him. But then catch this next phrase, "that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness." That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Biblical preaching declares the praises of God. It lifts up the mighty works of God, whether it be the works of God at creation, whether it be the works of God in giving and sustaining human life. Biblical preaching declares the praises of God. Biblical preaching must then always be a manifestation of the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, "But hath in due times manifested himself through the preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Paul said that God manifests himself through the preaching of the Word of God. So biblical preaching shows forth the praises of God. Biblical preaching manifests God. And biblical preaching will always, always glorify Jesus Christ. Amen. You will find as the central theme of a Bible preaching church that Jesus Christ is being lifted up above all others, above everything else. Jesus Christ is the theme of every book of the Bible. And the theme of the Bible is the redemption of mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "For we preach Christ and Him crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles it is foolishness." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Every once in a while, I'll hear people say, "Well, you know, our church, you know, our pastor, all he ever does is preach the gospel." You know what I say to that? Amen. You know, the fact of the matter is they wouldn't have liked Paul's messages because, you know, he just preached the gospel. And I want to help you with something. You're not going to get any deeper than the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you've been born again, you will never cease to enjoy the wonderful riches of Jesus Christ coming to this world, being born in a manger, living a perfectly sinless life, dying on a tree as your substitute and mine, and raising up again on the third day. I never tire of hearing that wonderful story of Jesus Christ. Biblical preaching lifts up Jesus Christ. Biblical preaching is more than a study of facts then. It is the presentation of God to man. It is that time when we come face to face with God, God's word and God's will for our lives. And it is that time when we see ourselves reflected in the mirror of the word of God as God would have us to see ourselves. And we have this modern day concept of worship today that oftentimes is based in emotion rather than based in the word of God. And we need to understand that true praise and worship can come forth from the hearts of men and women who are doing what Colossians 3:16 says, letting the word of Christ dwell in them richly. And when the word of God is preached, and when men and women are coming face to face with God and approaching Him through the word of God, then we can praise the Lord and sing to Him and give offerings of praise unto Him. And so, as Christians approach the word of God in reading the word of God, we are approaching God Himself. And as Christians gather around Bible-based messages and we hear God's word being preached, we are also approaching God in that way as well. And then thirdly this morning, believers approach God not only through Bible reading and not only through Bible preaching, but believers approach God through response to Bible reading and Bible preaching. As I respond, I am approaching God in a more intimate way. Our response to the Word should be to approach God with a life of offering and praise and service unto Him. James chapter 1 and verse 22, James said, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." My friend, if you come to church week after week and your heart is stirred, but your life is not changed, you are failing to see the significance of a life of worship, of a life of approaching God, because we are not here to just hear the Word of God, but we are here to let it settle into our hearts and affect our lives and change our marriages and change the way that we live and change in the hearts of a single adult and a teenage heart, and to say, "Lord, I don't want to just hear a preacher preach today, but I want you to touch my heart and change my life." And that is when worship really begins to grow. You see, Bible reading and Bible preaching especially is designed to have an immediate impact. God's will is that His Word would quickly touch hearts and quickly touch lives and change hearts and change lives. You don't have to wait to be saved today. You don't have to wait today to find peace for that bitterness in your life or that sorrow in your life. God's Word is ready, and God wants to touch hearts and lives immediately today. I think about the disciples in Luke chapter 24. The Bible says they were walking with Jesus, and Jesus was talking to them about the things of the kingdom. And one of the disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked to us of the things of the Word of God?" And I want you to know today, when God's Word comes into your heart, oftentimes your heart will burn. Oftentimes there'll be a sense that God is speaking to your life. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 7. He said, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments." The psalmist said, when God's Word gets into my heart, the response is, I just want to praise God. I just want to thank God for what He has done and to draw closer to Him. Did you come here today saying, "I hope I can learn something about God today"? As I approach the Bible, when He says stand for Bible reading, when He starts to say some things from the Bible, I hope that today I will come face to face with what God wants me to know today and face to face with God today. Or did you come saying, "Well, I'm going to come this one time to get Him off my back. I'll go for Mildred. She's been so cranky this week. Maybe if I go to church, she'll stop cranking at me." Or did you go and saying, "I hope he's done right at 12. I won't be." Amen. The fact of the matter is, friends, today, that biblical preaching and coming and opening and studying the Word of God should cause us to see some things in our lives that need to change, and so that we'll walk away from this place not having an emotional worship experience, but a meaningful worship experience where our lives are touched and our lives are changed because we have met with God through His Word. Warren Wiersbe said something that caught my attention. This past week, he said, in this day of cassette recorders, I fear that too many worshipers deliberately delay their hearing of the Word until it is convenient. Or, if the person is inclined to take notes, he or she may be so intent on writing choice notes that the immediate impact is lost. I hope you understand this today. I am not primarily week after week, after Sunday morning, after Sunday night, after Sunday school, after Wednesday night service, preaching to your intellect, but I am here today to hold up the Word of God so that you and I will face God, so that I will preach through God's Word to your heart. And the result of that will be an impact that will last for all of eternity. When I open the Word of God, my fellowship with God begins. And when I obey the Word of God, my fellowship with God continues. And so it is that besides the avenue of prayer, the way to approach God is by opening His Word and realizing that when I open His Word as a child of God, I am standing on holy ground. This book is alive. This is the inspired and preserved Word of God. And I am approaching God biblically when I read it and when the Word of God is preached. And so believers approach God when they read the Word. And they approach God when the Bible is preached and Jesus is lifted up. And then we can approach God through our response to His Word in our lives. I wonder this morning, do you desire to have an intimate walk with God? Not the superficial, go to church, get it out of the way type. But I mean, do you really want to know God and walk with God? Do you really want to approach God? The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 105, very clearly, he said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Ladies and gentlemen, the way to approach God, the way to find God is through His Word. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know why some people are never saved? I do not say this critically. Their churches never preach the Word of God. But when the Word of God is preached and men and women understand that they are sinners and that only Jesus paid for their sin, then they can be saved. And once they are saved and once they come to Christ as Savior, then they can approach God through His Word daily. They can fellowship with God in the way that He desires to fellowship with them. Last month I was preaching up in Fresno, California. And one of our men in the church had said to me a time or two, he said, "Hey, Pastor," he said, "now, if you ever have a kind of an in-between place where you're going to preach and you like me to fly you up there, I can get the plane and fly you up." And when he said that to me, I said, "Right. I don't like getting in those little planes like that." I just said, "Well, God bless you. Thank you, brother." And in my heart, I was thinking, I'll never get in that plane with him. Well, some time passed and opportunity came, and I was talking some folks about it, and I thought, you know, I don't want to go up there and get home at 4 or 5 in the morning. And I went up to Brother Dave. I said, "Hey, Brother Dave, is your offer still on? Can you take me up there?" He said, "Sure, I'll be glad to fly you up there." I went out there to Fox Field, got in his plane, looked at that plane, looked at him, make sure it was flush in his cheeks, wasn't going to have a heart attack while we were up there, because I certainly did not know how to get it down on the ground from there. He looked all right. There were gauges all on that instrument panel. I knew nothing about them. We got on that runway and went up, and before we knew it, we were up in the air and going. And I said to Dale, I said, "This is going to sound like a dumb question, but how do you know how to get to Fresno from up here anyways?" I said, "All these little cities, you know, Bakersfield." I said, "If it was me flying," I said, "I'd land at every one of these places. They all look like Fresno to me." Man, he started showing me these little maps. He said, now, Pastor, he said, these are the vectors. We've got to stay right here. And he said, if I line up on this little thing on the dash, he's pointing at, he said, if I line up the lines right here on this, that means I'm staying right in this vector. That means everything's fine. He said, in fact, Pastor, he said, I've got my instrument rating. That means that really if it was cloudy and foggy and I couldn't see a thing, just from this little thing right here, I should be able to guide us right in close enough so that we'd see those blue lights and be able to land. I said, great. I thought to myself, just do it. Don't talk about it. Just do it. Sure enough, we got in that plane up near, and there was that little compass thing, and he was keeping that thing lined up just right. We were fellowshipping, talking, having a good time. I was looking for deer as we went over the mountains, looking around. Then I was checking his cheeks, make sure they were still flush. Make sure he was feeling all right, praying. But you know, after just a little while of visiting and going along, all of a sudden, before you knew it, there we were. There we were. There were those lights. And we were finding ourselves coming in right as he had planned. You know why? Because he kept himself right in those vectors until he got right to those lights, which brought us safely down to the ground. I want you to know something today. God's Word will give you the vectors that you need, and God's Word will light the way for you to approach God. And if you certainly and truly desire in your heart this morning to approach God and know more about God, I want to encourage you today, approach the Word. And approach it as if you were on holy ground and say, God, I recognize that you've revealed yourself through this book. And I recognize, God, that you love me and you want to tell me something. And so I'm ready to listen. I want to be swift to hear today what you have for me to know.
Pastor Paul Chappell preaching in the series Approaching God, and the title of this message is Approaching God Biblically. The text is Colossians 3, verses 16.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." You're not saved because of sprinkling or because of baptism. You're not saved because of what you do. You are saved because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the fact of the matter is that God's Word makes that very clear. But after a person is saved, something happens within the heart of a man or a woman. After a person is saved, there's a desire to approach God and to know God in a deeper way. There's a desire to worship God. Many people do not desire church, nor do they desire the Bible, because the Lord is not in their life. The Lord is not their Savior. But when you get a hold of the truth that you were once destined for eternity apart from God, and then Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid for your sin, and you accept Christ as Savior, all of a sudden the Bible says you're a new man or woman in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And where church was a drag, now it's a delight. And where the Bible was a burden, now it's a blessing. And you see, something happens in our hearts in the way of a desire to worship God. We can worship God by presenting our lives as a sacrifice to Him, or by praying to Him, or by giving offerings unto Him, or by praising Him. There are many ways that we worship God, and the Bible says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. The beginning place of all worship is the Bible. You see, we really don't know how to praise, or how to give thanks, or how to approach God until we first approach Him through His Word. And God has given two main ways that we can approach Him. One way is through prayer, and the other way is through the Word of God. And as we come to the Word of God, and as we learn of Him through His Word, then we can, in real truth, praise Him and give to Him as a response of what we know about Him. You see, there are some people in my life this morning that come to mind, and I really appreciate them. I could sing their praises this morning because I know some real good things about them. But you know, the more we know about God through His Word, the more we can praise His name, the more we want to give to Him, the more we want to know about Him as we approach God through His Word. When we approach the Bible then, and when we open the Bible, I want you to understand this morning that we are literally entering into the presence of God. We are approaching God when we open this Word. Peter tells us that the Bible, the Word of God, lives and abides forever. And I want you to understand this morning, we believe what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration, the Greek word theopneustos, means God breathed. In other words, we believe that the Bible is a God-breathed book. This is not Shakespearean poetry. This, my friend, is a divinely inspired message from God. In fact, the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21, "For this prophecy came not by in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so the Holy Spirit of God, through these men, gives to us the Word of God. The Bible, then, is our way of approaching God. And the Bible, Hebrews 4 and verse number 12, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the book that I hold in my hand this morning is alive, and it is working in the lives of men and women today. Now then, as we approach the Bible, we are approaching and understanding our God in a greater way. Believers, Christians, who approach the Bible are approaching their God. The Scriptures, you see, testify of God. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse number 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus says, if you want to know me, if you want to know more about me, search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. Friends, it is the Word of God that will reveal the God of the Word. And if we want to know the God of the Word, we must approach the Word of God. The Scriptures, the Word of God. I like what Paul said when he wrote to the Thessalonican church. He wrote to them there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And he said to the church there, he said, "I rejoice that when you received the Word which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." When Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, they did not receive it as just some letter or as just another letter from a man, but they received it as it was in truth, the Word of God. Do you want to know God today? Do you want to know Him intimately? Do you want to know more of Him and His love for you? Then I would encourage you today, as you approach God, approach Him biblically. Don't trust what some church says or some denomination says or some so-called prophet says, but come to the very Word of God. It is infallible, it is preserved, and it is for you and for me today to trust and to learn more about God. I remember when I was in Bible college, during that first year, Terry and I met. And then she, during the summertime, went up to San Jose, California, where her family was from. And I remember what a heartbreaking time that was for me. And having her go there, and I had to stay down in L.A. and work my job so I could pay my school bill and so forth. And I never will forget the fact that Terry used to write me those letters. And every day I'd come back into the college campus and back from work, and I'd go into that big mail room. I'm pretty sure it was box number 117. And as I came into that mail room, I'd start sniffing. I was sniffing for perfume. Lots of times she put perfume on those notes. And lots of times before I even got to the box, I knew whether or not she had written by whether or not I could smell the perfume down the hallway. Boy, I want you to know something. I'd get to that box. I'd turn that key. I'd take those love letters out of that mailbox, shut that mailbox. I want you to know, friends, if it would have been the president of the United States or some dignitary or some college professor that wanted my time, I wouldn't have had time right then because I had to get away and get alone, and I had to open up those letters and smell those letters and read between the lines to make sure that she still loved me and make sure that everything was going just fine, and then I'd reread that letter. I want you to know I looked forward to that letter coming because I wanted to know everything I could know about my fiancée, Terry. I wanted to know everything I possibly could know about her. And I'm simply saying to you today, that is exactly the way we need to approach the Bible. We need to come to God's Word and let it be sweet to us. And we need to come to God's Word and approach it and say, God, I want to know more about You and more about Your love for me. And I want to know what You have for me today. And I'm approaching God's Word through my Bible reading. And as I read the Word of God, then I am approaching God because He manifests Himself to me through His written Word. And so believers approach God, first of all, through their Bible reading. And then secondly, believers approach God through biblical preaching. I want you to understand that this morning. Martin Luther once declared, "When I declare the Word of God, I offer sacrifice unto Him." I offer sacrifice unto Him. When we preach the Word of God, those of us who are Bible preachers, we are offering up a message unto the Lord and unto God's people. And when it is Bible-based, then we can know more about our God through Bible-based preaching. You see, preaching is a vital part of worship. There are many movements today that are beginning to neglect the fact that unless they have had preaching of the Word of God in their midst, they have not truly worshiped God. Because it is through the preaching of the Word of God that He reveals Himself to men and women today. and it is biblical preaching that will reveal God. I'm afraid today we are seeing in many instances people who are coming to church but learning very little about God, walking away feeling like they don't know God more intimately. On one end of the spectrum, we have the liturgical approach where there is so much liturgy that the scriptures don't get through. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have the emotional approach where there is so much emotion in singing that there's not enough preaching. And somewhere in the middle, my friend, there needs to be the proclamation of biblical truth where men and women come face to face with an almighty God. And so we see that we must approach God through biblical preaching. Now, when I think of preaching, I think of all the different styles and types. And I'm reminded of the story of one little boy that went up to the preacher after church. And he walked up to that preacher and he said, "Preacher, here's my offering. I want you to have it." The preacher did what a smart preacher would do. He said, "No, son, I'm not going to take that offering. Now, your parents gave that so that you'd give it to the Lord. You go over there and give it to the ushers, and they'll take care of it for you, and they'll make sure that it goes for the Lord's work." Little boy said, "Nothing doing." He stood there. He was just declaring to that preacher that he was going to give him that offering. And he said, "By the way, preacher, this isn't for the church. This is for you. You need it." The preacher said, "Son, you've got to give that to the ushers. I don't know why you're insisting this way, but I can't take it." He said, "By the way, why are you so insistent anyways, little boy, that I take this money?" Little boy said, "Well, my dad said you're the poorest preacher he ever heard in all of his life, and I figured you could use this money." Now, I want to help you with something. You don't determine how poor or how rich a message is by the delivery style, but by the biblical content that is being presented. And when the Bible is being presented, then through that, we are approaching God and growing closer to Him through biblical preaching as a form of worship. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 9, the Bible reads, if you would turn there, please, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Here we see in the Word of God that God's Word declares that Christians, as they are saved, become a royal priesthood. In other words, we do not have to go to some priest and ask him to offer our prayers, but we can offer prayers up to the Lord directly. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "And holy nation, a peculiar people." That means that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is separated unto Jesus Christ, holy, belonging unto Him. But then catch this next phrase, "that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness." That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Biblical preaching declares the praises of God. It lifts up the mighty works of God, whether it be the works of God at creation, whether it be the works of God in giving and sustaining human life, biblical preaching declares the praises of God. Biblical preaching must then always be a manifestation of the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, "But hath in due times manifested himself through the preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Paul said that God manifests himself through the preaching of the Word of God. So biblical preaching shows forth the praises of God. Biblical preaching manifests God. And biblical preaching will always, always glorify Jesus Christ. You will find as the central theme of a Bible preaching church that Jesus Christ is being lifted up above all others, above everything else. Jesus Christ is the theme of every book of the Bible, and the theme of the Bible is the redemption of mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "For we preach Christ and Him crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles it is foolishness." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Every once in a while, I'll hear people say, "Well, you know, our church, you know, our pastor, all he ever does is preach the gospel." You know what I say to that? Amen. You know, the fact of the matter is they wouldn't have liked Paul's messages because, you know, he just preached the gospel. And I want to help you with something. You're not going to get any deeper than the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you've been born again, you will never cease to enjoy the wonderful riches of Jesus Christ coming to this world, being born in a manger, living a perfectly sinless life, dying on a tree as your substitute and mine, and raising up again on the third day. I never tire of hearing that wonderful story of Jesus Christ. Biblical preaching lifts up Jesus Christ. Biblical preaching is more than a study of facts then. It is the presentation of God to man. It is that time when we come face to face with God, God's Word, and God's will for our lives. And it is that time when we see ourselves reflected in the mirror of the Word of God as God would have us to see ourselves. And we have this modern day concept of worship today that oftentimes is based in emotion rather than based in the Word of God. And we need to understand that true praise and worship can come forth from the hearts of men and women who are doing what Colossians 3:16 says, letting the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. And when the Word of God is preached, and when men and women are coming face to face with God and approaching Him through the Word of God, then we can praise the Lord and sing to Him and give offerings of praise unto Him. And so, as Christians approach the Word of God in reading the Word of God, we are approaching God Himself. And as Christians gather around Bible-based messages and we hear God's Word being preached, we are also approaching God in that way as well. And then thirdly this morning, believers approach God not only through Bible reading and not only through Bible preaching, but believers approach God through response to Bible reading and Bible preaching. As I respond, I am approaching God in a more intimate way. Our response to the Word should be to approach God with a life of offering and praise and service unto Him. James chapter 1 and verse 22, James said, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." My friend, if you come to church week after week and your heart is stirred, but your life is not changed, you are failing to see the significance of a life of worship, of a life of approaching God, because we are not here to just hear the Word of God, but we are here to let it settle into our hearts and affect our lives and change our marriages and change the way that we live and change in the hearts of a single adult and a teenage heart, and to say, "Lord, I don't want to just hear a preacher preach today, but I want you to touch my heart and change my life." And that is when worship really begins to grow. You see, Bible reading and Bible preaching especially is designed to have an immediate impact. God's will is that His Word would quickly touch hearts and quickly touch lives and change hearts and change lives. You don't have to wait to be saved today. You don't have to wait today to find peace for that bitterness in your life or that sorrow in your life. God's Word is ready, and God wants to touch hearts and lives immediately today. I think about the disciples in Luke chapter 24. The Bible says they were walking with Jesus, and Jesus was talking to them about the things of the kingdom. And one of the disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked to us of the things of the Word of God?" And I want you to know today, when God's Word comes into your heart, oftentimes your heart will burn. Oftentimes there'll be a sense that God is speaking to your life. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 7. He said, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments." The psalmist said, when God's Word gets into my heart, the response is, I just want to praise God. I just want to thank God for what He has done and to draw closer to Him. Did you come here today saying, "I hope I can learn something about God today"? As I approach the Bible, when He says stand for Bible reading, when He starts to say some things from the Bible, I hope that today I will come face to face with what God wants me to know today and face to face with God today. Or did you come saying, "Well, I'm going to come this one time to get Him off my back. I'll go for Mildred. She's been so cranky this week. Maybe if I go to church, she'll stop cranking at me." Or did you go and saying, "I hope He's done right at 12. I won't be." Amen. The fact of the matter is, friends, today, that biblical preaching and coming and opening and studying the Word of God should cause us to see some things in our lives that need to change, and so that we'll walk away from this place not having an emotional worship experience, but a meaningful worship experience where our lives are touched and our lives are changed because we have met with God through His Word. Warren Wiersbe said something that caught my attention. This past week, he said, in this day of cassette recorders, I fear that too many worshipers deliberately delay their hearing of the word until it is convenient. Or, if the person is inclined to take notes, he or she may be so intent on writing choice notes that the immediate impact is lost. I hope you understand this today. I am not primarily week after week, after Sunday morning, after Sunday night, after Sunday school, after Wednesday night service, preaching to your intellect, but I am here today to hold up the Word of God so that you and I will face God, so that I will preach through God's Word to your heart. And the result of that will be an impact that will last for all of eternity. When I open the Word of God, my fellowship with God begins. And when I obey the Word of God, my fellowship with God continues.